Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
And we invite your attention today to the greatest dilemma faced by all mankind. And that dilemma is not politics. That dilemma is not job loss or economics. It's not the war that's going on in Iran. The great dilemma of all mankind is a little three-letter word, sin, S-I-N. Sin is not confined to any one race or any one nationality. It is the predicament of every human being. We read in Romans 5, verse 12, "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all had sinned." Now, for a man to deny the presence and the problem of sin in his life is to engage in self-deception. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, is the way John puts it in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And beyond that, it is the challenge of the truthfulness of God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 10. And sadly, there's very little consciousness of sin today. The word sin is seldom used in ordinary conversation. Modern philosophy and liberal theology have no place for the Bible concept of sin in their systems of thought. And as a result of this, modern man feels no real need for Christ, no real need for salvation, which is available through Christ. Yet apostolic preaching emphasized the presence and the power of sin, and it presented salvation as the one universal need of all mankind. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now today, until men hear that message proclaimed with power as it was in the first century, there will be no conviction of sin, there will be no desire for salvation within their hearts. It is time that those unscriptural theories which explain away sin and which excuse men for staying in their sin were exposed as the ungodly lies which would make the death of Christ a meaningless act. It's time for us to go back to the Bible and from its pages see ourselves as God sees us, that is, sinners in need of His grace. It's time for us to be convicted of our sinfulness by the Word of God and seek from that same Word the means of salvation through the grace of God. Well, we began our study this afternoon by noticing exactly what is sin. Just what does the Bible mean by the term? Well, the word sin comes from a Greek term, harmatia, and that's the one most often used in the New Testament to designate the idea of sin. The root meaning of that word is missing the mark, and therein is signified a most important idea. Just as a marksman has a target at which he aims, so God has set the target for human lives. His perfect will for us, as revealed in the Bible, is the bullseye for humanity. And as surely as we miss the mark or we fail to do His will, we miss the bull mark, we have sinned. But more is involved in sin than merely missing of a target. There's a matter of guilt for the failure. It's not an innocent falling short of perfection. It's doing wrong. It's transgressing the law of God. And it's not a matter of which has been appointed of God and which is beyond man's power to control. It is an exercise in personal freedom wherein we choose to do other than that which God has willed that we should do. The first three chapters of the Bible tell of the creation of the world, the perfect relationship which existed between God and man. There was open and intimate fellowship between God and Adam, but the story does not go far until sin enters the picture. Adam chose to assert himself against God's authority to eat the forbidden fruit. He denied God's right to give binding commands, and he violated the will of God. And by an exercise of his free will, Adam decided to forfeit perfect fellowship with God in order to have his own way. And my friend, so it has been ever since that time. Man has missed the mark of righteousness by exerting himself against God. Man has consistently chosen to break heaven's rules. Man has insisted on his own way. Man did not have to sin, but he chose to sin. And man's universal involvement in sin is declared in the Bible. Personal experience tells us this much about sin. Every cemetery is a reminder of the power of sin, for you see, death entered the world through sin. Lives that have been ruined by sexual sins, by alcoholism, and all kinds of licentiousness bear witness to the presence of sin and its horrible nature. The suffering of innocent victims for the crimes of brutal men is even more impressive evidence of sin's universality. Yes, sin and its fruits are everywhere. One might as well try to deny his own existence as to try to deny the existence of sin. Well, to get personal, how may sin be committed? There are two basic ways in which men commit sin. First, we may sin by acts of transgression against God's law. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 4, "Sin is the transgression of the law." Now, the word transgress is from two Latin words, which means to go across. Thus, to transgress God's law is to cross over a boundary which He has set for us in the Bible. For example, God commanded that men not commit murder, Exodus 20, verse 13. And so long as man is able to love his fellow human beings and observe this boundary against the unlawful taking of life, he is not a transgressor. But just as surely as he steps over the boundary which God has set, he is a sinner. God has also forbidden such actions as lying, stealing, adultery, idolatry. In the New Testament, Jesus has expanded this list of forbidden things to include the feelings which motivate them: greed, lust, hatred. Thus, in one way in which sin can be committed is by crossing over boundaries which have been set by God. And then secondly, one may sin by falling short or failing to live up to certain standards which God has set for us. James speaks of that in James 4, verse 17. "To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." An example of this type of sin can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. The Lord had commanded Saul and his army to go down and to utterly destroy a race of people known as the Amalekites. The specific instruction was that nothing was to be spared. But Saul fell short of keeping that command when he spared the king and the best of the sheep and the oxen. And thus Samuel, God's servant, rebuked Saul, and he was punished as a sinner. He had not committed adultery. He had not violated any other of the boundary-setting commandments of the law of Moses. But he had failed to carry out a requirement which was specific, which was understandable. And every specific act of sin which you can name will fit under one of these two broad headings: transgression or falling short. And time simply does not permit a detailed enumeration and a discussion of the various specific sins which people can commit. Paul listed a number of things which are sinful in the eyes of God in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, down through verse 21. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And when we look at God's Word, we see how serious sin really is. We've already made reference to the fact that most people are prone to treat sin very lightly. It's as if they thought God once held men accountable for their transgressions, but that He no longer does so. They appear to be convinced that they can treat His laws with contempt and get by with it. But what does the Word of God have to say regarding the seriousness of sin? One, the Bible emphasizes the seriousness of sin by informing us that all sin is against God. When the king of Israel, David, committed adultery with Bathsheba and subsequently had her husband put in a place where he would die in order to make her a widow, he had obviously transgressed the law of God and was by definition a sinner. But against whom had he sinned? Bathsheba? Yes. Against her husband? Yes. Uriah? Certainly so. But when he later repented of what he had done, he indicated that his greatest sin had been against God Himself. And thus we find the penitent prayer in Psalms 51, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight." Verse 2, 3, and 4 of Psalms 51. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they murmured against Moses and Aaron for having brought them into such a barren and a hostile place. Especially did they murmur over the lack of food there. Of course, they were in the wilderness by the design of God. They should have trusted Him to meet their needs. And thus it was Moses rebuked their faithlessness. And the Jews said, "Jehovah heareth your murmurings which you murmur against Him." And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Jehovah. Exodus 16:8. Israel's sin was therefore more terrible because it was not only against God's chosen men, Moses and Aaron, but it was against God Himself. Again, we see the seriousness of sin and the fact that it separates man from God. Returning again to the history of Israel to illustrate this fact, we hear the warning of God to Moses concerning Israel's future if they broke His covenant with them. We read in Deuteronomy 31, verse 17, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?" Sin is real. Sin will separate you from God. Sin will keep you out of heaven. But God be thanked that there is a remedy for sin. That He so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever has an active faith that would lead them to be obedient to the Christ, surrender completely to Him, they can have the forgiveness of their sin. And they can have, as they walk faithfully with the Lord, heaven as their home. Sin is serious. Treat it as it is.